third one out. There within a heart a melody, Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still, in a wise ebb and flow. Everybody. Sweetest name I know, fill my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. All my life was wrecked by sin and strife, discord filled my heart with pain. Jesus swept across the broken strings, stirred the stumbling chords again. Sweetest name I know, fill my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Though sometimes he leads through waters deep, trials fall across the way. Though sometimes the path seems rough and steep, see his footprints all the way. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fill my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Soon he's coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown, I reign with him on high. Everybody. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fill my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Amen, amen. May I have your ushers, please?
Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you, Lord Jesus, this beautiful day you've given us, and thank you for this great music we've had today, this morning, tonight, John. Lord, thank you for the message we had this morning. Thank you for the visitors we had. Lord, just give you all the praise and glory, Lord, for what you've done. It's all about you. It's not about us. God, we just give you all the praise, and thank you for everything you've given us again, Lord, and I ask you just be with this be with this offering in Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
Christ Jesus the Lord. Hey, we are in. Did I get it? I think I got it. Did I get it? Do I have anything down there? I may have to do a quick punt here and go to my office. I haven't done that in a long time. Amen. Y'all got some testimonies? God is all the time. Amen. Y'all have any questions about that Matthew passage? About the, what do we call them, the Magi, the wise men? Any questions? Is my script in there? My message? My notes? Yeah. Well, they better be. I printed them off. I printed them off.
Sermon?
Yeah, I forgot my sermon right here. Amen. Got it marked up. No, I printed it. Amen. All right, we're in Revelation chapter 10. If you don't want to talk about Matthew chapter 2, I'll talk about either or. Matthew chapter 2. Let's look at Matthew chapter 2 just right quick. There's a few things on my heart about that passage. We talked about, we were talking about worship in regards to that, really that's the application of that visit of the Magi. If you'll look at that with me, you don't have to stand for this one. We're just going to review it right quick. Matthew chapter 2, we began in verse 1. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, Matthew 2, 1, in the days of Herod the king, Magi, or as your King James Version says, what does it say? Wise men from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? We said these folks were from the Mesopotamia. We talked about how they were from the area of Babylon. For we saw his star. We talked about the star was the very Shekinah glory of God. This is just a hyperbolic word, calling it star there. Because this star doesn't last. It appears, shows them the direction to go, and then they go that direction. His star in the east, and have come to worship him. Verse 3, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled. And notice what it says, all Jerusalem with him. Now, why were they troubled? I just didn't have time to develop all of this and talk about all of this in a Sunday morning, but there's some good stuff in here. Why were they troubled, you think? Why were they troubled? Herod was a nut. I mean, crazy, right? They weren't troubled about a Jewish king being born. They weren't troubled about the Savior of the world coming. They were troubled because he was troubled. And when he got troubled, people died. And so for the fact that people were going to die when he was troubled, they were troubled, right? When he was about to die, when Herod was about to die, historians tell us that he had the most popular people of the town rounded up and put in prison. And he gave orders, when I am deceased, you are to kill these people, so there will be mourning in the town. He knew people wouldn't mourn for him, but he wanted mourning going on in the community. So that's why they're so troubled, right? When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled in all Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. The chief priests and the scribes of the people. The high priest had been a kind of a lifetime deal. I mean, you were high priest until you couldn't be high priest anymore. But since Rome had taken over, and these folks were in Jerusalem, they were underneath Roman oppression. They had Herod over them as a quote king. The chief priests were. The high priest was for sale. So if you had enough political clout, if you had enough dirt on the other folks, if you were unscrupulous as an individual of the tribe of Levi and you wanted to become high priest, you could very well do that if you had enough means and money to get there. So it was very corrupt. There was a captain of the temple who had Jewish soldiers underneath his authority. He was part of the chief priests. And then you've got the scribes, you've got the people. He inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said to him, Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah. For out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. And when you have found him, report to me so that I too may come and worship him. Lie. He didn't want to worship him, right? After hearing the king, they went their own way. And the star, which they had seen in the east, the glory of God, which they had seen in the east, went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was, the glory of God over Jesus, over the Son of God, who is God. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, And they fell to the ground and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. So, did Herod worship? No. Did the chief priests worship? No, they didn't worship either. Did the scribes worship? They didn't make it either. No. And bless the heart of the town folk. They were too wound up in fear to worship. The only people that got to worship in this story, in this passage, are the wise men, or the Magi. Amen? All right. Well, that's a little review. I wanted to bring out just a few more things on that. If you'll take your Bibles now and turn me to Revelation, we are in Revelation chapter 10. Revelation chapter 10. We're going to try to finish it up this evening. I invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God, Revelation chapter 10. We'll begin reading here in verse 1. All right. The Word of God reads, it says, I saw another strong angel coming down out of heaven, clothed with a cloud, and the rainbow was upon his head, and his face was like the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire, and he had in his hand a little book which was open, a little biblion. He placed his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land. And he cried out with a loud voice, as when a lion roars. And when he cried out, the seven peals of thunder uttered their voices. When the seven peals of thunder had spoken, I was about to write. I heard a voice from heaven saying, seal up the things which the seven peals of thunder have spoken, and do not write them. Then the angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land lifted up his right hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things in it, and the earth and the things in it, and the sea and the things in it, that there will be delay no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, then the mystery of God is finished, as he preached to his servants, the prophets. Then the voice, verse 8, then the voice which I heard from heaven, I heard again speaking with me, saying, go take the book which is open in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the land. So I went to the angel, telling him to give me the little book, the little biblion. And he said to me, take it and eat it. It will make your stomach bitter, but in your mouth it will be sweet as honey. I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it, and in my mouth it was sweet as honey. And when I had eaten it, my stomach was made bitter. And they said to me, you must prophesy again concerning many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you right now, and we thank you, Lord, that you are a gracious God. We are thankful for our salvation this evening. Lord, we are thankful that we are heaven bound. We're thankful that we have Christ in our hearts. We have the Holy Spirit in us. Lord, we are headed to the other side one day. We're thankful for that. But Lord, there are those around us, those that we know, those that we love, some that do not know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And Father God, we want to be reminded tonight that they need to respond. They need to obey the command to receive Christ as personal Savior and Lord. What an invitation. Jesus stands at the door of their heart and he's knocking. And Lord, we want to continue to remind them that he's knocking, that he wants to come in and sup with them, but they have to open the door. They have to let Christ in. They have to receive him. Father God, I pray that the lost that we know, that the lost that we love, that the lost that we don't know, that the lost people that we've never met, I pray that this church, these Christians, these called out ones would be a part of the ministries to see these folks saved, to at least see the seeds of the gospel planted in hearts so that they might have an opportunity to say yes to Jesus. To say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins of unbelief. I invite you into my heart to be my Savior and my Lord. Father God, may this church be about that, lifting up that gospel message and sending that gospel message out. We praise you and we thank you, Lord, for this study in the last times, this eschatological study. Father God, I pray you make us more in the image of Christ. You equip us, you help us, you motivate us, you encourage us in our daily walk with you. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God. May add his tremendous blessing to it. Well, here we are. When we first began this several weeks back, we said this is another eye in the storm. We've already had one of these eyes where it's kind of a respite. It's kind of a time where it's getting ready to get bad. It's getting ready to get more judgment-y. Judgment-y, that's really not a word. But you know what I'm saying? The judgment's fixing to come. And this is kind of just a hole in time where there's no judgment. It gives the reader an opportunity to kind of catch his breath. It gives the person an opportunity to kind of say, okay, this is coming. We're getting ready for all of this. But it's kind of like that eye in the storm. I mean, if you ever had a hurricane pass over you, we were fortunate, I guess unfortunate. I don't know what you call it. We had one pass over us. We lived in Pearland. Which one was it? Ike? And the eye of the storm just missed us. So we got all of the eye wall, and it was awful. And I wish we'd have got the eye. And your dad and mom got the eye. The eye came over their house. And I remember my father-in-law telling me he opened the door, went outside, looked up, and it was just nothing. Yeah, the eye of the storm. Well, that's what we have here, but the eye is about over. What have we said thus far? We said we talked about the vision that John saw. That was the beginning of verse 1 all the way through the first half of verse 3. And then we talked about the voices that John heard, the second half of verse 3, 2 through about verse 7. We said there were voices of mystery, and then we talked about there were voices of manifestation. The voice John had heard earlier from heaven in verse 4, when the seven peals of thunder had spoken, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying, seal up the things which the seven peals of thunder have spoken, and do not write them. The voice John had heard earlier from heaven, verse 4, forbidding him to record the words of the seven peals of thunder, spoke to him again, as he had earlier. This voice has spoken to him in Revelation 1:17, and this voice has spoken to him in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. And this voice has spoken to him in Revelation 5, verses 4 through 5. And this voice has spoken to him in chapter 7, verses 13 through 14. And it's spoken to him here in 10:4, and now it speaks to him again. John, the apostle, the called out one by God, man. John, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, John again became an active participant in this vision. And so he left the place of an observer to become an actor in the drama. And that leads us to our final point for the chapter. The vision John saw, the voices John heard, and finally, the volume that John took. The volume that John took. That is the balance of verses 8 through 11. Then the voice which I heard from heaven, I heard again speaking with me and saying, go take the book, the Biblion, the little book, which is open in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the land. So I went to the angel telling him to give me the little book, and he said to me, take it and eat it. It will make your stomach bitter, but in your mouth it will be sweet as honey. I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it, and in my mouth it was sweet as honey, and when I had eaten it, in my stomach was made bitter. That angel was telling the truth. Amen. And they said to me, you must prophesy again concerning many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. John's told to do what? Take the little book, the little Biblion, out of the what? Out of the hand of the angel. And to do what? To eat it. He's told to eat it. But he's warned that the book will be sweet in his mouth. And what? Bitter in his stomach. And what does John do? Well, like a good man of God, he does what God's word, God's angel, he does what God's spirit, whatever God is using to communicate to him, he does what is being communicated. He obeys the angel, and he finds the words of the angel true. You may think about this book, and you may look at some of the things we see in Revelation, and you may ponder about some of the things in Genesis, and you may think about some of the things in Daniel and Ezekiel, and you may go through some of the things in the Gospels. And you may wonder every now and then, I wonder if those things are true. They are. They true. True because it's truth. It can't be anything but if it's God's word. Amen? The angel knew. The angel knew what John's reaction to this truth would be. So obediently, like Ezekiel before him, he takes the book and he eats it. John is told that he is to take the message that he has taken and share it with others, so that they can do what? So that they can hear, so that they can do what? So that they can be convicted, so they can do what? So they can respond, so they can do what? So they can be saved. Amen? Take your Bibles and look with me in Ezekiel right quick. The book of Ezekiel. Major prophet Ezekiel. And we're looking at Ezekiel chapter 2. Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel. Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel. Ezekiel chapter 2, beginning of verse 9. 2:9. Ezekiel 2, verse 9. Tell me when you're there. Amen? Word of God reads in Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 9. Then I looked, and behold, a hand was extended to me, and lo, a scroll was in it. When he spread it out before me, it was written on the front and back, and written on it were lamentations, mourning, and woe. Then he said to me, Son of man, eat what you find. Eat this scroll, and go speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he fed me this scroll. He said to me, Son of man, feed your stomach and fill your body with this scroll, which I am giving you. Then I ate it, and it was sweet as honey in my mouth. Amen? Now, I don't know about you. I have a keen sense of the obvious, I think. I think I'm, you know, you've seen the Captain Obvious commercials. That could be your pastor up there. Oh, thank you, Captain Obvious. I have a keen sense of the obvious. What's so obvious to you, preach? This is a strange part of Scripture. Straight up strange. It's just a strange little section of Scripture. However, this passage, as strange as it is, does teach a couple of lessons about the Word of God that we need to hear this evening. And so in the midst of this, we're going to try to make some application. Number one, the Word of God, as we think about the volume that John took, the little biblion that he ate. Number one, the Word of God is to be swallowed. We are to feed on the Word of God. In the context of this passage, the act of eating the scroll symbolized the absorbing and assimilating of God's Word. The absorbing and assimilating of God's Word. The absorbing and assimilating of God's Word. When he took the divine Word concerning the remaining judgments as the Lord took possession of the universe, God is about to come down. I mean, Jesus is about to come down, and he's got the title deed, and he's about to claim it all. John found the words written on the little book, both sweet as honey and bitter. The question is why? Why were they sweet and bitter? Sweet, because John, like all believers, wanted the Lord to act in judgment, to take back the earth. Hey man, Jesus has come the first time for grace. We are experiencing the church age. Pentecost has come. The Holy Spirit is here. Salvation is free. But friend, I look around the world, and I look at the sin. It ain't getting better. It's getting worse. It's getting worse. And a part of me, and hopefully a part of you, you want God to come back. You want Jesus to come back, don't you? Yeah, we want him to come back. We want Jesus to come back. Well, pastor, if he comes back, he's going to judge. So be it. Come back, Jesus. Come back. We're under the blood tonight. My sins have been removed. The penalty of my sin has been taken away. I'm covered by the blood of Christ. If you're saved, you're covered by the blood of Christ. Jesus, come and come quickly, as Paul prayed. Amen? Right? The Word of God is to be swallowed. Sweet. Sweet. Why sweet? Because John, like all believers, wanted the Lord to act in judgment, to take back the earth that is rightfully his and be exalted, honored, and glorified as he deserved. Amen? Jesus deserves to be worshiped. The expectation of His people is that we worship Him, right? In a very simple fashion, in a very straightforward fashion, in a very sacrificial fashion, in a very self-giving fashion. Amen? We talked about that this morning. Bitter. This word was both sweet and bitter. Bitter because John is going to realize, as we will realize as we go further into the book, into chapter 11, he's going to realize, as we will realize, when we get into the next passage, of the terrible doom awaiting unbelievers. It ratchets up to the crescendo here coming in this next chapter. The Bible, though, for us, as we think about it, is spiritual food for us. Amen? Spiritual food. Spiritual food. Jesus said this in Matthew 4:4. But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Right? Now, if some of us approach the Word of God the way we approach television, we would be really up on the Bible. Because we feed on TV. We feed on TV. But if we fed on the Word of God like we feed on TV, I mean, if some of you knew the Bible like you know the Gunsmoke episodes, my soul, you'd be quoting the New Testament. I'm sure there's some of you here, maybe not here tonight, but some in our church, they could probably put together an ad hoc play and act out some of the scenes between Festus and what's the sheriff's name? Yeah, Sheriff Dillon. Yeah, there you go. They could probably act it out word for word. Get the eye, get all the inflection, how they stood. I mean, the whole nine yards, right? I mean, if we approach the Word of God like that, think about it, folks. Amen. The younger generation, let's spread it around tonight. Amen. You picking on the old folks, preacher, talking about Gunsmoke. The younger generation, if they studied the Word of God like they study their cell phones, oh my soul, there'd be revival all across the land in every middle school and high school around, right? Yeah. I mean, we've got to feed on the Word of God. I mean, I jest with you, we're kind of joking around, but we really do have to feed on the Word of God. Well, how often? Daily. Daily we've got to feed on the Word of God. Every day we've got to be in the Word of God. You can't be in it like I am. I understand that, but you can be in it every day. You can be in it. You can be in it. 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes, you can be in it every day. Can I get an amen on that? The Bible is spiritual food. Jesus, that's what he said, Matthew 4:4. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 15:16, it says, your words were found and I ate them, and your words became for me a joy and the delight of my heart, for I have been called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. That right there ought to motivate us that we've been called. We've been called unto salvation. That ought to motivate us to feed on the Word. Job said, Job 23:12, I have not departed from the command of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Right? Job 23:12. Peter said in 1 Peter 2:2, like newborn babies long for pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. The Bible's spiritual food. I don't worship the Bible. I mean, you tell me if I do. I mean, I may get to heaven one day and stand before my Lord, and Jesus may say, you know, you took it a little too far. You took it a little too far, right? But there's something special about His Word. There's something special about this book, amen? The Word is food for the hungry soul. The Bible is balm for the hurting soul. You heard this sister that was up here this morning. She said, man, I didn't want to come. She said, I'll just be honest, I didn't want to come today. But she came. She made the right choice. When you don't want to be here, here is the best place to be. Amen. And by the end of the service, when she walked out the door, she could say, thank you, Pastor. Amen. She'd say, thank you, Pastor. Yeah, because it's balm for the hurting soul. The Scriptures are meat for the growing soul, food for the hungry soul. If we are to be all that God wants us to be, then we are to get into the book and we're to feed. We're to linger there and graze there and just be in it. We're to drink deeply of its words so that our souls can grow strong in the things of the Lord. I'm telling you, I love my Scripture preparation. I'm so thankful that you buy my time. You buy my time. I'm telling you, you pay for it. You free me up so I can be in the Word. And I'll be studying along, and I'm going to preach on this, and I'll come across a word or a theological doctrine, and I'll be, what? Wait a minute, I remember something about that. And 2 hours later, I've got a stack of books on the corner of my desk. 2 hours later, I'm going, oh, okay, I got that figured out. 3 hours, whatever it may be. Okay, we got that done today, right? Put all those books back up, and then, okay, we're back on this sermon, right? But, I mean, you just spend time feeding on it. Just, you know, like when it's really, really hot, and it's been really, really hot, right? And you got a swimming hole or a swimming pool or one of them cement ponds, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. And it's not cold, but it's cool. It's not cold, but it's cool. Friend, you get in there, you don't want to get out. You just want to stew in there, don't you? Amen. You just want to turn all prunified, right? Get your fingers all prunified up, right? You don't want to get out. Amen. That's the way we need to approach the Word of God. This is the application. We must get into the Bible for ourselves every day. And so the question is, are you feeding in the green pastures of this Word as you should? As you should. Are you feeding as you should? Remember, you are what you eat. You are what you eat. So you're either an anemic Christian, or you're a healthy Christian, or you're a really healthy Christian. Amen. Keep on trucking with it. Amen? When John swallowed the book, he found that the eaten book was both a blessing and a burden. A blessing and a burden. The little book was sweet and bitter at the same time. Going back to that analogy, sweet and bitter. The sweetness of this book can be found in its passages about the grace of God. The sweetness about the love of God. The sweetness about the mercy of God. When we read of Jesus dying for our sins and shedding His blood and rising from the dead, it's so very sweet. Amen? When we read of heaven, it is so sweet. We're going there, amen? When we read that He will meet our needs in the Word of God, never leave us, and one day He's going to come take us home someday, that's sweet, amen? When the sinner reads that Jesus will save him if he will only come to Jesus by repentance and faith, that is sweeter than words can describe. This book is filled with sweetness. But the bitterness of this book, it's a blessing and a burden. The bitterness of this book can be found in its passages about how a hell awaits all of the lost folks. A hell awaits. When we read this book, we find that the Spirit of God convicts the hearts of saints and sinners alike of sin. And the book tells of judgment. And the book tells of wrath. And the book talks of damnation. It's a bitter book. It's a book that burdens. Amen? Sometimes I read my Bible and I'm thrilled, I'm blessed, I'm helped, I want to stand up and shout. Other times I read my Bible, I'm brought to tears over something it has revealed in my own life and in my own heart that I must confess and repent and agree with God that it's wrong and not do anymore. It's a bittersweet book. Make sense? So when we take the whole book, the bitter and the sweet, the blessings and the burden, we are able to say that God's truth fits together so well. God's truth fits together. His Word reveals our problems, but it always points us to the right solution. Praise the Lord for the Word of God. Amen? The volume that John took, we said the Word of God is to be swallowed, but secondly, the Word of God is to be shared. What's literally going on in this passage? John was being commissioned. He was being commissioned a second time. Friend, what he has got to receive, what he has got to verbalize under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in print, it is so horrific. It is so heavy in the area of judgment. He's got to go through a second time of being commissioned to write the rest of the prophecies God was going to give him. What he was about to learn would be more devastating than anything yet revealed and more glorious. He was to be faithful to his duty to record all the truth he had seen and would soon see. So John is to warn of all the bitter judgments coming in the seventh trumpet and seven bowls. And remember where he's at. He's an exile on the Isle of Patmos. That's where he's at. He's basically in a slave colony. He's basically in a prison gang. They're doing hard time, doing hard labor. They're not getting off. It's a life sentence. That's where you go to die. You just work to die. Work till you can't work no more, and then that's it, right? He had no opportunity to preach to all the nations. No opportunity. But he was to write the prophecies and distribute them so as to warn all people of the bitterness of judgment to come and of death and hell. And let me just say this. God wants to do a miracle here. He wants to do a miracle here. But not all of you are going to get to see it, right? But just because you don't get to see it does not mean it's not going to happen. Does that make sense? So you need to look to Jesus and work with Jesus and work with His Holy Spirit and work with each other to build the best church that you can possibly build with the gifts and talents that He has assembled here. Because I'm telling you, He's going to do a miracle here. I feel it in my bones, and it's not my hip talking, it's other bones. Amen? I feel it in my bones. I got this email from a prospective visiting family. They want to know a little bit more about our church. I got it today, right after service. And the mom was talking about her children and would her children be sincerely taught and loved at our church. And she wanted to know about our services and is the Word of God preached reverently and exegetically? That's pretty big when a layman pulls that exegesis word out, right? And I was able to respond to her that indeed her children would be loved and taught here. And indeed what God has called me to do with the preaching ministry He's given me is to preach through books of the Bible. And we exegete the passage and we expositorily preach it, right? So basically, come on, sister. Bring the fam. Come on, right? I'm telling you, there's a stirring in the community. And there's a stirring in the area. And more people are coming out here to where you're at. The places of acreage and places of horses, those places are going to be surrounded by subdivisions and homes and more schools and everything else. You've seen the road they're building out here. They don't just build that to build that. They do that because people's coming, right? This is where this is where the town's projected to grow. That's why it's out here, right? And so what does God want to do? God wants to use me at New Hope Baptist Church. He wants to use you at New Hope Baptist Church to be a legacy. We're going to go until we can't go anymore. We're going to hand off the torch to somebody else. Amen? We just keep plugging and going. And I'm telling you, God's doing a miracle here. He's doing a miracle. You believe it? You got to have that faith, friend. Don't lose it. Keep it. Keep working it. Sinners everywhere may know, because John recorded these prophecies, that while judgment is presently restrained, Judgment is presently restrained in 2019. Right here, right now, judgment is presently restrained. But a future day is coming when the seventh angel will sound his trumpet and sin's dominion will be broken. Sin's dominion will be broken. The freedom of Satan and his demons will come to an end. Godless men will be judged, and believers will be glorified with a glorified body. Amen? John was told to share the message of the book with others. And the same burden has been placed on our shoulders today to share the book with others. We are to take this book with both its blessings and its burdens, and we are to share the Bible's message with a lost and dying world. Now, this is a point of application. It's not a point of offense. Not trying to offend, but just wanting to try to apply here. When we settle, and we don't want to settle, but sometimes when we settle into the church, our perspective becomes inward. We start to look inward. The service is all about my wants. The service is all about this. It's all about that. We become inward. There's a tendency to believe that His Word is for our church's benefit only. But the gospel's for all men. The gospel's for all men. Praise God, the church I went to didn't look me up and down and say, well, you know, he's not part of us. I don't know if we ought to share this with him or not. Praise God, they saw something in me enough to share the gospel with me so that I could be saved, right? And apparently there's some churches that saw something in you. They had a love for humanity or a love for you personally. And they wanted you to enter into the kingdom of God one day with them. They wanted you to experience the saving grace of Jesus Christ. They wanted you to experience forgiveness and mercy and grace and all of those things that go with Jesus' shed blood and death and burial and resurrection. Amen? We don't want to settle. We want to be outward. We want to look out. What is God wanting to do with me out there? Outside the four walls, what does He want to do with me? How does He want me to impact the lives of others? He gave us His Word to share with the world. He gave us His Word to share with the world. We want to go forth with the Word of God in our hearts and on our lips, and we want to tell a lost world that Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Oh man, He saves. Jesus saves. Come on, He saves. Amen. What does Jesus do? He saves. Well, who's He come to save? Sinners. Jesus saves sinners. Amen? As we close this chapter and we move on to the next, we're going to enter a time of tragedy like we've never seen in this book thus far. Thank God that He has given us a fresh glimpse of His truth. And thank God that He has reminded us that He's in control. And thank God that He's reminded us of the importance of His Word. And I'll ask you, just to remind you, what did we say at the beginning of this chapter, chapter 10? We said this chapter presents an interlude. We said it presents an eye of the storm of judgment coming against this world. And the interlude, the eye in the storm at the conclusion of chapter 10 is over. So hopefully and prayerfully, we're reminded of our evangelistic responsibilities to warn the world of that day. I wish more and more churches would preach through the book of Revelation. I really do. I really do. More than we need to hear it. And I praise God that people listen to the messages online. And if you're listening to me, praise God, and you take heart to this truth and you take this truth out, just like we here listening to it now are going to try to take it out. But folks, this book of Revelation is an evangelistic book. It is an evangelistic book. I want to close with just where our culture is at in downplaying judgment, in downplaying this place called hell, in downplaying a literal heaven, how our culture kind of makes fun of it. There's an NBC show, and I think this year is the last season of it. I think it's going to run for four seasons, and I think this is the fourth and final season. You know, all the new shows are coming out this October, like Sweeps Week or something, I don't know. But NBC's show, The Good Place, it's an attempted humorous, and I say attempted because I don't find much humor there, but it's an attempted humorous depiction of life after death. The creator of the series, Michael Schur, said it's based on the idea of an omniscient point system. An omniscient point system. Like we're all playing a video game that we don't know that we're playing. And someone's keeping score. And the 10 highest scores out of every 10,000 people get rewarded. After her death, the character Eleanor Shellstrop finds herself with this small minority of the world's best people in the good place. There's just one problem. She doesn't belong there. She was actually a pretty awful person. When Michael, the architect of the good place, finds out she's there by mistake, he gives her a questionnaire to determine her worthiness. The questions start out, did you commit murder? Did you commit arson? Did you take off your shoes and socks on an airplane? Amen? Did you ever have a vanity license plate? Did you ever reheat fish in an office microwave? Right? Have you ever cared about The Bachelor or any of its attendant spinoffs? Michael lets Eleanor know that they're going to watch some highlights from her life as Michael tries to determine if she is good enough to stay in the good place. Eleanor says, it doesn't make me look great, so don't judge me. To which Michael replies, that's literally the purpose of this entire exercise. The lost, the not saved, woman or man won't be able to tell God one day, so don't judge me. Because His judgment day is coming. And His judgment will involve our real moral failures, not just trivial offenses, but our worthiness in the kingdom of God is not something we deserve, but something we receive as a free gift from the wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? See, His shed blood covers your sin. His shed blood removes the penalty of our sin for today, for all eternity. All eternity. So somebody you meet this week, somebody you might meet this week, somebody you might run into this week, needs this salvation. Somebody you bump into this week needs this healing. Somebody that you say hi to, somebody you strike up a conversation with, this covering that I speak of by the blood of Christ, they so desperately need it. And my question to you is, as we close tonight in prayer, will you pray for this impending divine appointment? I'm not saying 100% you're going to have it, but some of you may have it. And will you pray for this impending divine appointment that you might very well have this coming week? Will you pray for this lost person? Will you pray that you would be sensitive to the moving of the Holy Spirit to share with them the love of Jesus Christ? Would you pray? Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we close out tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You, Lord, and we thank You. We thank You for the book of Revelation. We thank You for the Word of God. We thank You, Lord, that You are coming back. You promised. You keep Your Word. Your Word is true. You said You were coming the first time to save. You're coming the second time to judge. And Lord, we rejoice tonight that we are saved. But Lord, we pray tonight for those that are in a position of condemnation already. They stand condemned already. They need a Savior. They need salvation. We possess the very gospel of Jesus Christ if we're a saved believer tonight. Father God, help us as we pray for these lost individuals these lost friends and family members and co-workers and acquaintances. Lord, help them. Help them, Jesus, see the truth. I pray you'd pull the scales from their eyes and you would tear down the walls in their hearts. And Lord, we pray that you would put a hunger, that you would touch their heart in such a way that they would even ask questions about what faith is, about who Jesus is. They would ask questions about the Bible and its message. And Lord, we would be ready. I pray we would be ready. These divine appointments, these impending appointments, we would be ready. We would be prayed up and we would have been in our word. We've been read up and we're ready, God, to share with them the love of Christ. Oh, Jesus, you want to do a miracle with New Hope Baptist Church. You want to do it in these last days, God. We want to lift you up. We want to lift you up in our lives, and we want to lift you up in our church, and we want to lift you up in this community, and we want to lift you up for everyone to see Jesus in us. Oh, God, we know you want to do it. We know you're going to use us. Help us be ready. Help us be ready. Lord, I pray for these impending divine appointments. And Lord, it may be somebody that's not even here tonight, but we're praying for all of New Hope Church. We're praying for all of our brothers and sisters in Christ that attend here, that are part of this body. Maybe somebody that's not even here tonight, but they're going to lead somebody to Christ this week. This week it's going to happen. Father God, we thank you for the awesome privilege and the incredible potential of the gospel message as it intersects the lives of lost people. Oh, we love lost people. We love them in their lostness because we know they need salvation. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you for your gospel. Thank you for these people. Thank you for your church. Lord, I pray you give them safety as they depart this place. Lord, may they have a restful night tonight. In a blessed week, this coming week, may they just be walking in victory with you, even through the trials, the temptations, and the difficulties of life. May they know that you're in the midst of it with them. Thank you, Jesus, for being with us. Thank you for taking us by the hand. Thank you for loving us so much. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. You folks are dismissed. Have a blessed rest of the evening.